Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, and welcome to the Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host, Evangelist Cheryl Johnson, the president and founder of the Women in the Word Ministries, and this is In Search of the Truth, coming to you live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the United States of America. And there you can join us on blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom Network, or you can dial us at 319-527-6091. We praise God for how he has poured into this ministry and how I believe this is show number 1,636, if I'm not mistaken. But God is a good God, and whatever he pours into, it will remain. So again, I am your host, Evangelist Cheryl Johnson. And this is In Search of the Truth. The Bible declares in Psalm 119, verse 160, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy judgments endureth forever." John 17, 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And John 8, 32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So if you're looking for freedom tonight, if you're looking for deliverance tonight, if you're looking for a word of encouragement tonight, if you're looking for confirmation tonight, if you're looking for clarity tonight, well, tonight is your night, and we will find it in the Word of God. Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and for your grace, for your loving kindness. It is better than life, for who you are and what you're yet doing in the lives of your people. Another day and another opportunity, Lord, that you're giving us to gather around your throne of grace, Lord, that we might study your word, Lord, that we might get clarity, that we might get understanding, that we most of all would get application. I'm asking, God, that you would hide me behind the cross, so that they won't hear me, but they will hear you, and that they would hear you speak to their spirits, and that they would spiritually see you high and lifted up, and that your word will fall on good ground, and that that ground will bring forth fruit, and the fruit will remain and be strong and be in abundance in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to be in the midst even on this evening. We bind every hindering spirit that comes up against us even on tonight in the name of Jesus. We ask for clarity, wisdom, and understanding, Lord. We ask you to unstop our ears, Lord, and open up our hearts, Lord, and open up our spiritual eyes, Lord, and open up our spiritual ears, Lord, because we want to hear what you have to say to us through your word. We pray, God, that you will get the glory, that you will get the praise in the mighty, matchless, and marvelous name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do pray much thanksgiving. Amen, and glory to your name, O God. Now, the subject or the topic of what we're going to look at tonight, it's called Let Lot Go. Let Lot Go. And it has a lot to do with certain things that we find ourselves holding on to, or certain people or certain places or certain attitudes or habits that we find ourselves holding on to that actually prevent God from showing his blessings or manifesting his blessings through us as the conduit so that others would in fact be blessed. And so I call your attention to Genesis chapter 13, and we're going to read a very familiar passage in Genesis chapter 13, and we're going to pull out some of the meat that the Lord has allowed me to see, and I want to share it with you. Because it blessed me, and it called me on the carpet as well. And so it might do the same for you, because what we want to do is we want to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can only do that when we allow the word to shine upon us. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, we want that word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path, to lead us, to guide us into his truth. So, again, I call you to Genesis chapter 13. And just going to be reading actually verses 1 through 17, but we're focusing on Genesis 13, verse 11 through 17. But I just thought it would be good to kind of go back to the beginning so that we can get some clarity and we can get some understanding about what is going on here. So I'm in Genesis chapter 13, and I'll be reading in your hearing the King James Version. And there you find these words beginning at verse 1. It says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. Verse 8 says, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, and if thou depart to go to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld on the plain of Jordan, and that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou cometh unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thy eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, and then shall thy seed also be numbered. And verse 17 says, arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. The word of God for the people of God to glorify God. And again, our subject matter is let Lot go. Let Lot. Now, Abram had been told by the Lord to leave the land of Canaan, the city of Haran, and to separate himself from his kindred, the familiar, and from his father's house, and to go to a land that will be disclosed to him at a later time. And Abram did this, and because he did this, the Lord said, I'm going to give you a fivefold blessing. And if we were to turn to chapter 12 of Genesis, looking at verses 1 to 3, we would see what this fivefold blessing was because of his obedience. So I call your attention really quickly to Genesis, just setting up a background for us, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. It says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee, here's the fivefold blessing, I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So the Bible says that Abram departed as the Lord told him to do, and he took Lot with him. So we can say because of Abram's obedience, and he was 75 years old when he was given that assignment by the Lord, and he abided by what the Lord had spoken to him, but we can say he was obedient for the most part, but there was one thing that the Lord told him to do, but, you know, he wanted to expand on it a little bit or enhance it a little bit, and what I'm going to remind you what it is. Here's what. The Lord said, leave your kindred, leave your father's house, leave your family, take your immediate family, take your wife, and go to a land that I will tell you about later. Just start traveling, and I'll tell you when you get to the place that I want you to go to. But the Bible makes it clear, and it says, but he took with him. And we're going to find out that by him taking Lot, certain things occurred that should not have occurred because he decided to take Lot with him. And my question to you tonight is, what have you allowed to tag along with you on your God-appointed assignment? What have you allowed? Because oftentimes, you know, the Lord does talk to us about thus and so, different assignments, different visions, different missions that he wants to send us on. And he's very clear and specific about what he wants done and how he wants done. And because he's that kind of God, I'm sure that if he wanted us to bring others along on the journey, he would say, go get so-and-so, or pray about such-and-such, or I will provide you so-and-so to help you. And if he doesn't say it, it's not because he forgot. It's because he doesn't see the need for them to be there. And sometimes we bring Lot with us, even though God didn't ask us to bring Lot with us. And sometimes that Lot will be the very thing that hinders us from allowing the Lord to use us as the conduit of blessing so that others can be blessed. Now hang in there, because I'm going somewhere with this, and I think it's really pretty good. And letting Lot tag along, it seemed harmless at the time. But by the time we get to chapter 13, we find out, or we start to see where things are starting to unravel. The Bible tells us in chapter 13 that Abram went up to Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had had or all that he had accumulated, and Lot was with him. And it says that Abram was very rich. That's what verse 2 tells us, very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. And he never forgot what the Lord had told him, and he never forgot to include God in on some of his journeyings. And how do I know? Because it said that he set up his tent at a place called Bethel, and there he built an altar there. So he always had God in mind up to this point about, and I'm talking about consulting, and that's what we need to do as well. As God sent us on our assignments or dropped something in our spirit to do, we need to consult him. We just don't take it and run down the road with it. We need to consult him every step of the way, because the truth of the matter is that when God gives us something, he also has a plan and a purpose in mind and a specific way that he needs for it to be done. And it behooves us not to vary from what it is that God would have us to do. And oftentimes, he's not going to tell us like the entire plan, because what he wants us to do is consult him along the way. that we might become dependent not on our skill, our intellect, our ingenuity and know-how, but rather dependent upon who he is as the one who leads and as the one who guides and the one who knows the end from the beginning and the one who knows all things. And so he's wanting us to trust him. He's wanting us to consult him every step of the way. And that is the same God that is very specific on what he wants done, how he wants it done, and who he wants to be involved in this event that he has placed on your life. Somebody needs to hear me today. And so back to the Word of God in chapter 13, it says that Abram was very rich, but it also says that Lot also was pretty well off. He had flocks, he had herds, and he had tents. That means he had servants. He had livestock. He was not poor. He was in the same category as Abram was. But here's the rub. Here's the rub. Both men had great abundance, so much that the land was not big enough for them to dwell together in unity. Now, think about it. Had not Abram invited Lot, then he wouldn't have this little tiff or rift, if you will, that he's about to encounter. But because he took Lot with him, of course he didn't foresee that his own nephew would be his stumbling block. And a lot of times we don't foresee there's some people that we include in on our ministry because we see them as a help and not a hindrance. We don't see that as a stumbling block right away. But sometimes things arise in the relationship, and it is revealed that if we had listened to God in the first place about what specifically he wanted us to do and how specifically he wanted us to do it and whom he wanted us to include, we wouldn't have the tiff or the riff or the stumbling block. And so I'm looking in chapter 13, and it lets us know that Abram took Lot with him, an innocent gesture, and actually we would venture to say that it was a right gesture because Lot's parents had passed away, and he was hanging out there basically by himself, and that was Abram's nephew, his brother's son. And so he took him under the wing and brought him along. But as they continued to travel through, and both of them began to get wealth or abundance by the blessings of the Lord, now the Bible is going to let us know that there's a little fallout that they start to have. It's right there in verse 5 and 6. And Lot also went with Abram and the flock, and he had flocks, herds, and tents. And verse 6 says, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And verse 7 says, and there was strife, an argument, a contention, a disagreement, a quarreling, if you will, between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And don't miss it in verse 7. It says, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwell then in the land. Now, why is that important? Well, it's important for a couple of reasons. The first thing is there's a riff or a tiff or disturbance between the family members. And it's not actually directly between Lot and Abram, but it's between Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen. And so there's a little tete-a-tete, if you will. But it lets us know that the Canaanites and the Perizzites also dwelled in the land. They were watching. What am I saying? When you bump heads because of a little disagreement or tete-a-tete, people are watching to see how you handle that. Are you going to handle that with the love of the Lord? And are you going to consult God so that he might season your words with salt so that this tear won't become a great tear or a great separation or something that's going to become unfixable because something came out of your mouth that shouldn't? People are watching to see how you handle these little tete-a-tetes or these little rifts that might arise from something that you might have bought on yourself. Like in this case, Abram bought Lot, and so that rift came because he bought someone along whom the Lord didn't say bring. Or it could just be that this person is going to start a problem anyway because the adversary is using that problem, that person. I don't know if the adversary was using Lot or not, but I look at this particular verse in chapter 13, verse 7, and I see that there was an argument, but I also see that there were people who were watching to see how Abram was going to handle that particular situation. So I'm saying to you that when there is a rift, when there is a disagreement, when there is a tete-a-tete, the Word of God tells us that be slow to anger and quick to listen and slow to speak. So because you want the Lord to season your words with salt so that it won't pour more devastation into an already difficult or seemingly difficult situation, because folks are watching to see how you handle that. But here's what I like. It says in verse 8 that Abram handles it well. He says, okay, he says, Lot, let's not fight. Let there be no strife, pray thee, between me and you, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, because we're family, we're brethren. We shouldn't be fighting. That's what Abram says. And he says, this is what I'll tell you what we're going to do. Is not the whole land, verse 9, before you? Separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. And here's what I'll do. If you will take the left hand or go to the left, then I'll go to the right. Or if you depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Abram says it's not worth the struggle. It's not worth the contention. It's not worth the uncomfortability of this disagreement, because this assignment, this place that I'm headed, or what God has in store for me, has to be done, and I don't want to be sidetracked by the fact that there's a little tete-a-tete between us. So I tell you what, we're going to have to separate, because we can see that this land's not going to be able to hold us if we can't dwell together in unity. And sometimes, what am I saying? Sometimes you got to let Lot go. You have to suggest that Lot separate from you, whatever the Lot happens to be, because that would be the very thing that will cause you to be stagnant, cause you not to move forward in what God has called you to do, just dealing with that quote-unquote Lot in your life. And it can be a number of things, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, but I'm just looking at the Word of God, and as the Word of God is speaking to us, I'm asking us, what are you allowing to tag along with you on your God-given assignment that God had not called you to let tag along? Amen, somebody. All right. So when he said we're family and that we should separate, you go to the left, I'll go to the right, you go to the right, I'll go to the left. He's saying to Lot, basically, you choose the direction. And whatever direction you choose, I'm fine with it. We're going to keep it moving because it's just not worth being stagnant and being angry and being in disagreement all this particular point in time. But here's what I want us to come to, and this gets very exciting. The Bible says this in verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. And this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou come out of Zoar. And so the place that Lot desired was very well watered, and Lot's thinking of himself, thinking of his herd, thinking of his flock, thinking of his of maintaining his status, maintaining the things that he had. And he, since he had first dibs, as you say, or first choice of what to look over, because Abram said, look, you look it over, and wherever you go, wherever you choose, I'm in agreement, and I'll go in the opposite direction. I'm not going to argue with you about it. Whatever you want. And he decides he want to go. Now, here it is. He decides that he's going to choose the plain of Jordan, right? And the Bible says, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Stop for a minute. Although Lot chose a place called the Plain of Jordan, would seem to be everything that he wanted and then more, there was something attached to the Plain of Jordan that Lot had not considered. And that was the fact that it was connected to Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was filled with wicked people, and the Lord actually destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. But this is before this comes up. This is just before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, to tell you the truth. And the Bible says, but Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, pay attention. He didn't go straight into Sodom and Gomorrah, but he faced there. Uh-huh. And there are people who have attitudes, who have habits that we have to let go of, because it's only going to lead us to a place of disappointment, a place of aborted visions, a place of destruction like Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says that Lot pitched his tent, turned his face, purposely toward Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible lets us know in verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Yet this did not deter Lot. Lot looking at how good the land is, but he's not taking into account what comes along with that package. And isn't that how the adversary works? He kind of gives you, trying to make it look like it's okay, looks like it's smooth, looks like it's your best choice and all that, but there's an underlining thing that is designed to pull you in and to pull you away and to eventually to destroy you. Uh-huh. And when we continue to read, but not in this particular chapter, but a couple of chapters afterwards, we find out that Lot no longer is just facing Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says, and now he has set up his tent inside the walls of Sodom and Gomorrah and began to commune with those evil people. But that's another story for another time. What I want to say and make clear to us is there are some lots in our lives that we have to separate ourselves from, because they will keep us from doing what God will call us to do, or it will cause us to abort the mission that God calls us to do. So I'm looking at the scripture, and the scripture is making it very clear to me that there was a benefit or a bonus when Abram decided to let Lot go. Okay? So look at verse 14. Bible says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, the Lord said, lift up now thy eyes and look from the place where thou art. Look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, to thy seed forever. Abram, let Lot go. And as soon as Abram let Lot go, that's when the Lord speaks to him again to reiterate the fivefold blessing that he was promised back in Genesis chapter 12. But he had to let Lot go so that he could look up, and the Lord said, now, here's what I want you to do. Now you can look up with your eyes and see the place where you're heading, where I'm going to begin to give you this fivefold blessing, where you're going to be a great nation. You're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to be, your name's going to be great. You're going to bless people, and people are going to be blessed by you. And nations and families are going to be blessed before you. Now, because you let Lot go, now I can begin to work this blessing through you. Lift up your eyes and survey the land to the north, to the south, to the east, and the west. This I'm going to give you, not just you, but your seed as far as your eye can see. And so here's my question. What do you need to let go of so that God's promises can manifest in your life? What do you need to let go of so that God's promises or blessings can manifest in your life? In Abram's case, he had to let Lot go so that the Lord could reiterate to him the promises and then began to initiate the promises that he said he would give. So what is it for us? Is it fear? Do we need to let Lot called fear, let that Lot go? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So some of us have to let fear go. Oh, I know, I'm talking right about that. Some of us have to let fear go. How about this? Before fear, sometimes we got to let sin go. Yeah, sometimes we have not done what God has told us to do because we're paying attention to people, places, and things. Or sometimes we have said things that we shouldn't have said, did things that we shouldn't have did, gone places where we shouldn't have gone. Amen, especially not at that particular sense in time. We have delayed our response to God's call. And sometimes that lot is called sin. But the Bible says you got to let that lot go. And I hear the word of God tell me in Psalms 51, verse 10, you can do that by just simply saying to the Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And sometimes, you have to confess to the Lord that you weren't on point like he wanted you to be, that you did drag your feet. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What is it that you need to let go of so that God's promises can be manifested in your life? Is it sin? Is it fear? How about this? Is it worry and concern? Because, you know, if God tells you something, sometimes he don't tell you the whole game plan, and you think that's your cue to slow up a little bit, to slow your roll a little bit because you want to be in control. And so then you start worrying about, should I take the next move? Shouldn't I take the next move? And you find yourself worrying and being all spazzed out and stressed out and not even making the move that God wants you to make. And I hear the Lord say today, let that lot go. Let worry go. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And a God of peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind in perfect peace. Sometimes you got to let that lot called worry go so that God can manifest his blessings in you. Is your lot called complacency? I'll get it done, but not right now. And God said move, and you say, okay, I'm going to do that in a few minutes. I'm going to do it in a few days. God says call so-and-so. And you say, I'm going to do that in a few minutes. I'm going to do it in a few days. It's going to be all right. And the day gets by, and you haven't done it. Complacency. Mm-hmm. For him that knows what to do and does it not, the Bible says that's sin. That's a mess up. You don't want to do that. You want to try to be as obedient as you can. And sometimes exactly what that lot happens to be, you got to call it what it is. Sometimes it's complacency. Sometimes it's that, I get to it when I get to it attitude. Mm-hmm. I might be talking to somebody today. I know I was talking to myself for a little while. The Lord had to straighten me out on that. It's not I get to it when I get to it. It's like if I tell you I want you to do something or I'm dropping it in your spirit to do something, there's a reason why I want you to do it when I drop it in your spirit. Amen. And we got to get used to listening to the Lord and then obeying him as we hear the command, because it's very important and very strategic about what it is that he wants us to do. What is it that you need to let go of so that God's promises can manifest in your life? Is it sin? Is it fear? Is it worry? Is it complacency? Is it unforgiveness? That's a stronghold in some of our lives, and I call it a lot, the lot of unforgiveness. You need to get rid of that. Proverbs 17:9 says, God, that says that love prospers where a fault is forgiven, but it dwells in a place and closes off friendship. So this is what you want to do, or separates us from friends. So you want to get rid of that unforgiveness. Because that just builds up a wall between you and whoever. The Bible makes it very clear that if you have an ought against someone, right, then you go to that person, you ask for forgiveness. But then the Bible makes it abundantly clear as well that if they have an ought against you, something against you, then here's what you do. You go to them. So in both cases, you make the first move for this unforgiveness because you don't want anything to be between you and you hearing what God has for you to do so that you can be blessed and others can be blessed because you're obedient. What is it? What lot do you have to let go? Right? Is it people with different agendas? Do you have to let them go? Because the Bible tells us that we need to be like-minded. We need to dwell together in unity. We got to be of the same mind, be of the same agenda, be of the same love, and all those types of things. Are you surrounding yourself with people who will pray with you, people who will pray for you, people who will pray about you? Have you separated yourself from people who are double-minded? Have you separated yourself from people who say, oh, it don't take all that? Have you separated yourself from people who have another agenda in mind other than the one that the Lord has placed on your heart to do? And sometimes, like I said earlier, is we pull Lot along with us, not knowing that that's an attribute of that person that is designed to pull us back, to slow us up, to slow us down, to even get us to stop. What Lot do you need to let go of? Because that lot can keep you from seeing the blessings in your life. The blessings in your life are vast. There's a lot. And you got to let Lot go. You got to let go of fear. Let go of worry. Let go of anger. Let go of unforgiveness. Let go of sin. Let go of complacency. Let go of people, places, and things. Let it go because God wants you to arise and see. How do I know that? Well, I'm looking right at verse 17, our final verse. The Lord says to him, look, lift up your eyes and look about, look all over the place. He says in verse 17, now arise and walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. God wants you to arise and see and experience what he has for you. But you can't experience what he has for you if you're still holding on a lot. You got to let Lot go. Only then can you arise and be able to walk in your purpose and be effective in your ministry and be effective in your vision and be successful and effective in your mission or in your God-given assignment. You got to let Lot go so that you can experience the promises that God wants to do through you, whatever or whoever it is. You've got to let Lot go because God has made some promises in your life and God has purposed your life to be a conduit for someone else to be blessed. And he wants you to be the conduit to which this blessing will flow through. So we can't afford to let Lot tag along, especially when God didn't say, bring Lot with you. You decided this was something you're going to do. Well, once the Lord makes it clear to you that you got to cut those ties, those apron strings, cut those things that has attached this Lot to you, separate yourself from Lot, right? Then that's when you're going to hear the Lord speak to you again very clearly and begin to reiterate your purpose, your assignment, your vision, your mission, your God-given appointment, and how God's going to use you to bless others. And in the interim, you will be blessed as well. So I'm going to say it one more time. If you want to experience the promises that God wants to do through you, whatever it is and whoever it is, you got to let Lot go. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for allowing Lot to tag along and to hinder us from your blessings in our life. expose those lots in our lives. If it's anger, if it's worry, if it's unforgiveness, if it's unconfessed sin, if it's complacency, if it's people, if it's attitudes, whatever it is, expose those lots in our lives. And let nothing separate us from you and hinder us from doing what you would have us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake with thanksgiving. Amen, and glory to your name, O God. Amen. Now, I know that I've said a lot, but I'm praying that it fell on good ground. And some of us have been called to do great things for God, and we're just starting out. But we have allowed people and things to tag along. There are lots. And the Word of God is making it very clear to us this evening, we got to let Lot go. But then there are some that God is calling, but you haven't said yes to God yet. And so your lot, if you will, is you. You don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And because you don't have a relationship, you're living beneath your privilege. You're not living out the life that the Lord wants you to live and the purpose that he's already preordained for you to partake of, because you don't know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So if that's you, then today is your day. Why do I say that? Because you need the Lord. You need the Lord because you have a past, can't go back. But he says, Jesus Christ said, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he can walk into those places of sin and failure and wipe that slate clean and give you a new beginning. That's why you need the Lord. That's why you need Jesus. You need Jesus because you need a friend. Jesus knows the worst about you, yet he believes the best about you. Why? Because he sees you not as you are, but as you will be when he gets through with you. What a friend we have in Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Why? Because he holds the future. Who else are you going to trust? You've been trusting yourself all this time and it hasn't been working out. You've been trusting in other people and it hasn't worked out. You've been trusting in other things and it hasn't worked out. But in his hands, you're safe and secure. Not just today, but tomorrow and for the eternity. And his word says, I know the plans I have for you, plans of goodness and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And in those days, you will pray to me and I will listen. So here it is. It's time for you to begin a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ today. It's time. It's time. And it's easy as A, B, C. A, that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. You can't save yourself. All right. And B, believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross for you, died, but rose on the third day with all power in his hand. Right. And now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and for me. C, and confess this thing. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. That's what the Word of God says. And that's good news for you, and is good news for all who don't know who Jesus is. And it's really simple. When you make those confessions, you're going to be all right. So if that's what you need today, if your lot is you and you're standing, you're the one that's separating yourself from God, well, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man goes into the Father except by me. So why don't you give him your heart even on tonight? And you can do that really, really, really soon. Pray that prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner, and I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you died for my sin and that God raised you from the dead. And now, the Lord Jesus, I open my heart, the door of my heart to you. Please come into my life today. Forgive me of all my sins and save my soul. Thank you, dear Jesus, for hearing my prayer and saving my soul. In Jesus' name I pray with much thanksgiving. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want to say this to you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the family of God. Today is the first day of the rest of your life in Christ. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, in order to live this a new life more abundantly, more successfully, you'll need to seek out and connect with and join a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Because you want to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you want to learn about the many promises God has for you in His Word, and you want to understand the purpose that He has for you, a preordained purpose just for you. It's got your name on it. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Brother Rob is going to be coming to you now with announcements that you'll want to hear. Brother Rob, go ahead,
yes,
please.
Yes. Amen, amen, and amen. You know, I thank you for tonight's show, Evangelist Cheryl, because, you know, that touched my heart, you know, a little bit more than, you know, most shows I usually be a part of. Because I did a show before about Lot, and one thing I do love about this show is that you bring it at a different angle, and praise God for you doing so. And, you know, one thing I just want to say is that, you know, hey, you know, whatever is done in the dark will be brought into the light.
Mm-hmm.
And that is truly, truly true.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, I'm just going to go ahead and go into the announcements. And this is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's show, no matter where in the world you're listening to us. Whether you're listening to us online or you're listening to us via phone, we greatly appreciate your listenership, and we thank you for your support, for sharing with your friends and family members to let us know that, you know, Purpose Kingdom here is on the air tonight. And we thank you so much for that. Anytime we do a live broadcast, we broadcast live on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And anytime you call into a live show, you can call in to the phone number of 319-527-6091. You can press the number 1 at any time to talk to our host. And we thank you so much. We are also on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And anytime you want to hear any of our past shows, you can simply go into that website. And you can just simply type in the show name or the host name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we greatly appreciate those that share with their friends and family members. We also invite you to like us on Facebook. You can hear our upcoming shows and our announcement. So don't forget to like us on Facebook. We're also on LinkedIn and iTunes, where you can hear our past shows at your convenience, and also, you know, at your convenience. And so with that being said, I'm going to let you know that tomorrow night's show is going to be a rebroadcast. And it's going to be something you want to enjoy. So it's going to be at the 9 p.m. hour. And we hope with God's will and God's blessing that you join us tomorrow night, PM hour. And like I said, it's going to be a rebroadcast, but it's going to be good. So please join us and don't miss that, okay? And with that being said, I just want to let you know that we do have a radio, broadcast, which is pknradio.com. And at that website, you can hear 24 hours of musical content, and from time to time we do rebroadcast some of our past shows, and we hope you'll be able to join us. Okay, and with that being said, that's going to be the end of the announcements, and we're going to go to the conclusion of tonight's show with Evangelist Cheryl Johnson. And Evangelist Cheryl, I really did enjoy tonight's show.
God bless you. Thank you so much. God is good.
Amen.
And my prayer is that it fell on good ground. And look at it as God speaking to us so that we can move forward in what God has purposed for our lives, whether it's an assignment, whether it's an appointment, whether it's a vision, whether it's a ministry, whatever it happens to be, that we want to hear God speak to us clearly, and we want to make sure that there's no distractions, nothing between him and us hearing him clearly, and we want to make sure that we don't have any lots in our lives, or we haven't allowed Lot to tag along with us, that will cause us to be numb and deaf to what God is saying. And like the Word of God shows us that Abram said, okay, this is nothing but turmoil and tension between us, so you gotta go. And whichever way you go, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. And the Bible lets us know very clearly when we decide that that's what we're going to do, what we're saying is, I'm going to listen just to you, Lord. I'm going to obey just you, Lord. Then he'll speak to you again about what he wants to do, what his purpose is for you, what the plan is for you in your life, and what your ministry is about, or what your goal is, or what your purpose is, or what your assignment or appointment happens to be. But you just got to let Lot go. It could be fear, it could be worry, it could be anger, it could be unforgiveness, it could be people, it could be places, it could be attitudes, it could be things, whatever it is that's keeping you from hearing God speak clearly to you about what it is he wants you to do, you have got to let Lot go, because you want to be able to experience and walk out and be effective in the things that God has designed just for you to do. So again, I say, let Lot go so that you can experience the promises of God, because he wants to use you to be that conduit, to be a blessing for not only you, but for someone else. Let Lot go. Amen? Amen. So until next time, I'll let the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. For I am Evangelist Cheryl Johnson, and you've been listening to In Search of the Truth. And I bid you peace and God's blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. And glory to God. Good night.
Jesus led.
He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose. Set me free. I will not lose.
Never want to see me down. I will not lose.